All right, everyone, it's the Grim Lord here, and this is Grimm's, well, I don't know if we want to call it a, it's not a hentai game, it's a visual novel, yeah, we'll just go with visual novel corner. This is Grimm's visual novel corner. We're doing Opportunity, and Opportunity is a sugar baby story. Now, this is going to get a little crazy, but not too crazy, not out of the ordinary for us. And yes, you'll get something else today. It's not just going to be this. So, just bear with me for a few and we'll get this ready. Well, hi there and welcome to Opportunity, a sugar baby story. I'm Big, I wrote this, nice to meet you. Before we get going, there's one thing I want to clear up. That being, are you 18 years old or whatever the legal age to view pornography is in your country, right? Yeah, I am. I wonder what happens if you say no. Nah. What the heck? Are you trying to get me into trouble? I promise I'm not going to tell anyone, but you need to leave now. Get out of here. Shoot, go touch some grass. Sheesh. Yeah, I'm like 38, dude. Phew, that's a relief. That's a whole bunch of naked pictures in this thing. See? Grown-up stuff. We're so thrilled that you're giving Opportunity a try. We worked really hard on it. Anyway, that's enough for me. Enjoy, and I'll see you after the show. Monday. I came because I wanted to give you my answer, in person. She breezes past him, not trusting herself to look him in the eye quite yet. She finds a seat on the couch, legs pressed together, her fingers making fists in her skirt. Is it just me, or is it really warm in here? Oh God, can he see me sweating? He's sitting in the armchair across from her. She sneaks a quick peek, seeing him leaning forward, elbows on his knees, face full of concern. Her gaze quickly slides back to the floor as she feels color rush to her cheeks. She clears her throat. You see, I've thought a lot about it, what you proposed.
I'm glad to hear it.
She's acutely aware of how the entire room smells of him, making her head spin a little as she clenches her knees even tighter. She takes a long, steadying breath. Time to pull it together. I accept. Monday, 7 days ago. Give, 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 give. No, Mom, she's had it all week. Aster, baby, Luca deserves a turn with the... No, want! Aster, we use polite voices when we want something. Aster, 2.5 years old, takes this in stride for perhaps an eighth of a second before opting to emit a loud, wordless scream. Not worldless, that'd be different. Jacqueline looks helplessly at 7-year-old Luca. Luca rolls his eyes. Fine! With bad grace, he pushes the toy robot into his sister's grasping hands, cutting her scream mercifully short. Aster, what do we say to people when they're nice? Thank you. Luca, you're welcome. Jacqueline breathes a sigh of relief. That's one battle resolved. Now for the rest of the day. Luca, if you're done with breakfast, put your dishes in the sink and go brush your teeth. Okay, Mom. And make sure you pick up all your books and things. Okay, Mom. Luca goes to brush his teeth while Aster toddles off to enjoy her hard-won and thoroughly undeserved toy. Making him give up the robot is going to cost me. I wish I could afford more toys for him. As Luca sulkily gets herself ready for the school day, Jacqueline bustles around her small apartment, doing the 1,000 small chores necessary to make leaving possible. Dishes washed and set on the rack to dry. Aster wrestled out of her home clothes and into daycare clothes, dashing into the bathroom to wash up and apply makeup. Pulling Aster's daycare clothes back on after she pulls them off for some reason. Quickly throwing on her own work clothes. Sliding Luca's book report into his backpack after spotting it having been left on his desk. Pulling Aster's clothes on again. Okay, everyone ready to go? Yes, Mom. Yes, Mom. Great, let's go. First comes dropping Aster off at daycare, which is a short walk from the apartment, thank goodness. Then comes waiting with Luca at the bus stop. Now remember, you're getting picked up by Auntie Juniper today. Is she a chef? Auntie Juniper, on Monday, I get picked up by Auntie Olive, Mom. How many aunties have you got, lady? I know, baby, but Auntie Olive is sick today, so Juniper is taking over. I hate it at Auntie Juniper. She doesn't have anything fun. I know you don't like it, but, well, maybe you can just watch some videos once you finish your homework? Luca grimaces. Mercifully. Mercifully? That's a lot of mercifullys in this. The bus arrives. Have a great day at school. Love you. Love you too, Mom. Okay. Now all that's left is to jog to work before I'm late. And then be at work, working, for the next 8 hours. Great. The bakery is busier than usual, and the hours pass quickly as Jacqueline loses herself in flour, sugar, butter, and heat. Knead the dough, now cut it into portions and let it rise. Take the cupcakes out of the oven, let them cool, now for the icing. Brownies need a minute more, let them finish while chopping nuts. Arrange the brownies on a platter, take them up to the front. Smoke break. Jacqueline hasn't actually had a cigarette in 8 years, but thinking of standing outdoors for 10 minutes as a smoke break gives her a pathetic little thrill. Instead, she uses the break to scroll fitfully through social media, much healthier. Stretch, groan, check the clock, back to work. Until, quitting time, come get your cut of today's tips. Jacqueline accepts her cut with a grimace. I guess that covers bus fare, almost. Sorry, hon, if I knew how to make some of these snooty bitches open their wallets on command, I'd do it. It's alright, Al. Al is not AI. I know it's your fault. But hey, business is good. That berry cheesecake's been doing really well. Things keep up like this, I can afford to give you a raise next month. Aw, Al, that'd be sweet of you. Well, I didn't open this bakery because I wanted to be sour, hun. Jacqueline laughs dutifully at her boss's joke, then says goodbye. A raise, huh? Another 50 cents an hour, probably, but I'll take anything I can get. I should just count myself lucky to even have a job with a boss who gives me raises sometimes. Besides, Luca's gonna need new glasses soon, and Aster keeps growing out of her clothes. I can't turn up my nose at a few extra dollars a month. The prospect of those few extra dollars is still rolling around Jacqueline's brain as she hurries to pick up Aster from daycare. Mama, look! Look! As Jacqueline is about to enter the daycare, she finds a still damn sheet of cardboard paper thrust upward in a direction by paint-stained hands. Sweetie, oh my goodness, this is so good! The image is, of course, an incomprehensible morass of color and shape. Trying to look directly at it for too long starts to make Jacqueline a little dizzy. Can you tell me about it? Jacqueline kneels down next to Aster and begins to explain her painting. It's a horsey. A horsey? Aster nods. And what's the horsey doing? Aster considers this carefully. Horsey doing... big poopy. Wow, big poopy? Aster nods again, her face solemn, bordering on grim. Big poopy. Wow. Things continue in this fashion for several minutes. Okay, baby, let's go get Luca. Wanna see Luca? The question is largely rhetorical, but Aster nevertheless nods, and the two take a short trip via bus, getting off just outside Juniper's apartment complex. God, I hope he's still not mad about this morning. Excuse me, let me redo that. God, I hope he's not still mad about this morning. Who am I kidding? Of course he's gonna be mad. Nobody holds a grudge like a quiet 7-year-old. Her stomach is heavy as she presses Juniper's apartment buzzer. After a moment, Juniper's voice booms out of the intercom. Come on up! The door of the apartment complex buzzes and swings open. Jacqueline lets Aster press the button to summon the elevator, but not the button to get to Juniper's floor. Don't ask. There was an incident. I can't believe I'm afraid of my 7-year-old son being mad at me. I've got to get out more. Ha, right? What, with... excuse me. With what time and what money? She asks. As they step off the elevator, Juniper is standing with her door open, waving them in. Hey, you. Hey, Junie. June leans down to address Aster. And hello, big girl. Hello. As Juniper straightens back up to her comfortably imposing full height, Jacqueline notices her workout gear. Oh, did we interrupt you while you were exercising? I wouldn't call it exercising. Just a few pull-ups. A quick Tabata cardio routine. 40 minutes on the elliptical machine, 30 on the rowing machine, and then a little light yoga to cool down. That's what most people consider a full workout, folks. You aren't even sweating. And? Nothing. Aster, do you want to show Auntie June the picture you painted? Aster nods and holds up the cardboard paper. Wow, what a lovely... She looks to Jacqueline in quiet desperation. Jacqueline silently mouths, horse. Horse, what a great horse, yeah. Aster basks in the praise. Thanks for agreeing to pick Luca up on short notice. How's he been? Oh, quiet as usual. I offered to help with his homework. Yeah, sometimes it be like that. I offered to help with his homework. He said no, so I'm leaving him alone. Sorry about that. I think he's a little moody today. It's fine. Me and Rose don't exactly have the most kid-friendly apartment. Still a little sweetheart, though. The last time I saw him, he was brushing... D'Artagnan. I still can't pronounce that. I've seen that name a few times. I think it's D'Artagnan. Loves that dog. Or maybe it's D'Artagnan. I don't know. Here, don't bother taking off your shoes. I'll go let him know you're here. Left alone for a moment, Jacqueline marvels at the decor in Juniper's home. It always amazes me by how nice this place looks. It's not that much larger than where we live, but it looks so put together. She sighs. Must be nice being married to a gallery curator with a great taste like Rose. Must be nice being married to someone who's around. Luca comes running around the corner, pursued by an elderly schnauzer, and then, at much lower speed, a smiling Juniper. Hi, Mom! He collides with Jacqueline's leg, wrapping around it in a hug. D'Artagnan, the schnauzer, the dog here, shuffles around her feet, snuffling excitedly. I thought it was going to be sniffling, but whatever. Or sniffing, you know, dogs like to sniff around people's feet and legs and things. It's just what they do. Sniff, 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 sniff. Yeah, we get it. Again, the game is pretty much showing me what I just told you. Astra squeals and starts petting D'Artagnan with both of her little hands. Or D'Artagnan, whatever. He's not mad. Thank you, God, for 7-year-old attention spans and friendly little dogs. Hi, baby, did you have a good day at school? Luca detaches from her leg. School was okay. There was a big test in math class, but I finished early, so I got to have an extra long lunch break, and I found a new book in the library. Oh yeah? Which book is that? Luca digs around in his backpack and withdraws a much-thumbed copy of a fantasy novel with several dragons on its cover. The Magister's Good Apprentice. I haven't heard of this one. It's about this kid, and he's got glasses, but also his mom sends him to be a wizard, but he tells him his dad isn't his dad, and his dad is a dragon. Wow. So that makes him half-dragon. The other wizard apprentices make fun of him for it, but then he wins the wizard sports tournament, and the girl he likes says hi. And then what happens? Well, that's as far as I got, but I've got to finish it tonight. Well, we'd better get home quick, then. You say thank you to Auntie June, okay? Thanks for letting me stay over and play with D'Artagnan. Or D'Artagnan, Auntie June. Anytime, big man. Take care, Jackie. You, me, and Olive should get together for lunch sometime soon. It's been too long. Aha, yeah. Jacqueline, Luca, and Astra ride the bus and are soon back outside their own little apartment. As they enter their apartment complex, Jacqueline notices a few envelopes in their mail cubby and scoops them up, sifting through them as they ride the elevator. Junk? Wrong address? Oh, joy! Repayment reminders for both of my student loans. How thoughtful. As if I could forget about being in debt for the next 2 decades, if I'm lucky. She heaves a sigh as she unlocks the door to the apartment. If only some rich man would pay me to do things for him, she says. I mean, it's not written there, but that's what's going through her head right now, folks. Okay, guys, do your thing. Dinner's in half an hour. Luca and Astor quickly dart away, surely intending to accomplish important child tasks. Jacqueline changes out of her work clothes, and the rest of the evening shifts smoothly into another stream of tasks. Fix dinner for her and the kids, reheated pasta plus cookies from the bakery for dessert. Do the dinner and breakfast dishes while the kids play, they're not pray. Bath time for Aster. Story time for Aster, followed by bedtime for Aster. Check in on Luca's homework, done of course, but it's important to check. Text Olive to make sure she's feeling better. She is, thank goodness. Luca needs someone to look after him after school on Wednesday. Immediately feel bad that her relief over one of her closest friends recovering from an illness was framed in terms of personal convenience. But not that bad. Remind Luca about bedtime. Read part of his new book with him. It's a little old-fashioned for her taste, but she's glad he loves reading. Shut the door to the kid's bedroom. Great, all done. She collapses into her creaking desk chair and boots up her aging desktop computer. How fucking old are we talking about? Is he reading fucking Ulysses? Or, like, what's going on here? There's a lot of really old books. Of Mice and Men, you know, War and Peace. If your 7-year-old is reading War and Peace, man, that's some shit right there. I can't even sit through War and Peace. They made a movie, though. It's a lot better. Now, how do I want to spend my 45 minutes of free time before I have to get ready for bed? Well, that does not need to be there. That tea doesn't need to be there. Watch a single episode of a show with some swear words in it. Well, be damned, that sounds like a fucking great idea. Read several chapters of smutty fanfiction. Or more social media scrolling. Well, is she gonna Netflix? Is she gonna do the fanfiction? Is she gonna scroll social media? Oh, these people have such great lives. You know what? I'm unmarried, I don't have kids, and I'm happy for people. Absolutely. There's a lot of people that on Valentine's Day say, this is my wife, and this is my husband, and we're happy. And sometimes it's just really nice to see. You see older couples that are still having fun in their ages. It's great. It's great to see. I mean, sure, I had a chance for that at one time, but, you know, things happened. I made different choices, and there's always the regret there, but at the same time, you move on, because you're like, hey, okay, so I didn't do the thing. So there's no sense of being upset and jealous for people. Oh, well, no. Let people fucking be happy. If people are happy in relationships, they're happy in marriages, if they're doing good and they're having a good time, why be upset? Why be angry at them? What does that fucking do? I'm always happy for people that are doing good in relationships, you know? I like to see people happy, you know? Even if it's bullshit and they have fights, you know, if they're even acknowledging each other or doing fun things together, stuff like that, that's great. It's much better than seeing people upset about couples all the time. Well, why can't I be? Because you made different choices in life, or maybe the choices you made didn't happen the way you expected them to. And you have to move on with that. So, again, that's a big part of when you get older, and if you make different choices. And then there's some people that are doing really well because they made different choices. Like, they might not be married and have kids, but they might have a lot of money, and they might have a nice house, nice cars, you know, all these kinds of things. And maybe you're married and you're not really crazy about your wife. Well, that's the choice you made. You can't necessarily be upset at that guy because of what he achieved. Because he decided he didn't want to get married and he wanted to build his money and he wanted to do that thing. There's guys I know that have, like, hundreds of thousands of dollars, you know? And that's great. Like, awesome. When people are successful, you gotta be happy for them. Like, literally. I mean, because they're just people that start out from nothing. We're not talking about, like, billionaire Jeff Bezos or whatever. I'm talking about people that started from nothing and now they're good and retired and they're having fun or they're enjoying their life. That's great. Maybe you'll get to that point someday. Maybe you won't. But at any time, it doesn't do good to get upset about it. It really doesn't. You know, you gotta move past that point. Because that just, it's not something you want to bring with you. It's not a grudge you want to bear with you to the grave. It's not cool. Prompted by a vague sense of guilt and not keeping up with the rest of the world, coupled with restless apathy, Jacqueline pulls up her feet and begins to scroll and scrolls. Okay. She likes something and scrolls. Deletes a few emails and scrolls. And scrolls. Oh, yeah, I was saying scrolls and scrolls and scrolls. Well, that was a mistake. Just like that, her free time has passed. Well, let's go back. I just wanted to see that, because that was a little boring, wasn't it? A reliable standard. Jacqueline leads through extensive bookmarks. Really? Hidden within an unassuming folder named Recipes, with the air of an experienced connoisseur before settling on an old favorite. Rough-handed by Moonlight. A 200,000 word and counting, arguably the greatest work of fan content ever made, in Jacqueline's opinion. It was based on Myth Knights of Magic Justice, a late 90s shoujo anime. Ooh, okay. With 3 seasons, a movie, and an ill-regarded live-action adaptation that the fandom preferred to ignore. The fanfiction is a masterwork of yearning, pining, and furiously explicit lesbian sex. Which is, according to Pornhub, the number one category for women. Number one, lesbian sex. Jacqueline basks in it. And just like that, her free time has passed. Time for bed. Another big day tomorrow. Ugh, trying to be chipper about it just made me feel worse. Whatever. Time for bed. More to do tomorrow. Tuesday. Jacqueline wakes up. It's Tuesday. Taco Tuesday. There's more to do. It's like the bear getting up. She stretches, feeling a mixture of muted horror and ecstasy as no fewer than 4 joints crack loudly. Yeah, I don't know if you guys knew this, but, you know, when you live with women, they always make bear sounds when they get up, like it's something they don't want people to know, but no, it's... Oh, hi, honey, good morning. Yeah, it's just like, you don't know it, it's a top secret thing that only certain people know about. But yeah, when women would get up, they do the bear growl every morning. Okay. She stretches, feeling a mixture of muted horror and ecstasy as no fewer than 4 joints crack loudly. Damn, lady. You gotta drink some something. I'm fucking 38 and my fucking joints aren't cracking. She could have osteoporosis. Okay, awake. Now do some yoga. You promised yourself you'd do at least 10 minutes of yoga when you got up today. You know, every time I think of yoga, I think of Dal Seam. Yoga fire! Yoga flame! It's good for you. It makes you feel good. It makes you feel better for the entire day if you just do it for 10 minutes. 10 minutes is a long time to do some yoga. Yeah, do yoga. Yeah, okay, here we go. Yoga time! With a mighty effort, she rolls out of bed and onto her floor, arranging herself in a somewhat yoga-like position. Yes! 10 minutes of yoga later. Phew! I hate how I'm always right about how much better I feel afterwards. Healthy habits suck. But yoga is good. See, I did a good thing. There was a fucking answer that said noga. No, we're gonna have her do yoga. She needs to be pliable. Especially when you're bending down so much. You gotta think, she's have to bend down in the oven as much as she does to pull out the brownies and all the other things that she's cooking. Wish I could spare more than 10 minutes, but I gotta get through my bathroom routine before waking up the kids. A lithe and limber Jacqueline pads softly out of her bedroom door. Yeah, I think that's good. And the men'll notice, you've been doing yoga today, haven't you? She takes a moment to savor the early morning stillness before letting her brain slide into its usual state of task-oriented blankness. Load up the coffee machine, it's showing its years, but it still works, thank goodness. Hop into the bathroom while the coffee brews. Quick shower, brush hair, basic makeup. Pour coffee, take a sip while fetching the mail. Mostly junk, plus more reminders to pay both student loans. So thoughtful. Softly enter the kids' room. Luca, honey, time to wake up and get ready. Good morning, sleepyhead. I'm gonna wake Aster up. Breakfast's gonna be ready in 20 minutes. Luca blinks awake, fumbling for his glasses. Okay, Mom. Good morning, Mom. Jacqueline plants a kiss on his forehead, then turns to lean over Aster, gently jostling her awake. Good morning, baby girl. Aster snaps awake with a small squeal, throwing her small chubby arms around her mother's neck in a hug. Mama, morning. Ready to get up? Aster nods, no great fan of remaining still for any amount of time. The waking up ritual is out of the way. It's time to help Aster on with her clothes. Then take her out to the kitchen while Jacqueline gets breakfast ready. Peanut butter toast and fruit bowls with yogurt for everyone. I used to have peanut butter toast all the time. Peanut butter waffles, actually, is what I had. Set the table, pour milk for the kids, and another few sips of coffee before Luca, still yawning but dressed, comes out and sits at the table. Eat, drink, go over the day's plans, daycare for Aster, school, then olives for Luca. Clean up while letting the kids play for a bit. Get dressed for work, get the kids ready to leave. Drop Aster off, wait for the bus with Luca. Hustle off to work, greet Alejandro in the kitchen, get the work day started. Measure, measure, mix, mix, knead, knead, cut, cut. Slide the tray into the oven, retrieve the tray, let cool, garnish. Bring tray to the front to restock what needs restocking. Jackie, is that you? What? Jacqueline blinks, jarred out of her endless mental chest. Let's try that one more time. Jacqueline blinks, jarred out of her endless mental task list by unfamiliar stimulus. She looks up to see an anxiously smiling face.
Did I catch you at a bad time?
Staring into the expectant gaze of a man who clearly expects her to know who he is, Jacqueline is suddenly and acutely aware that she hasn't had enough coffee today.
Sorry, I don't mean to be rude, but have we met?
The man blinks, then laughs. Jacqueline laughs too, hoping it's the right thing to do.
My bad, I forgot I haven't really sent you any pictures with the beard.
It's Roman. Roman! The two had met over a decade ago at a nearby technical school. She had been enrolled in the fashion design diploma program, he in their computer programming track. Jacqueline had a lot of bittersweet memories from her time at that school, not least among them the fact that her diploma had given her a boatload of debt and zero employment opportunities. But Roman had been among the few completely good things. Their friendship was forged in the breakneck stress of technical school's nonstop demands, and they had supported one another at every turn. Roman had even been the one to introduce her to Rufus, who she would go on to marry, but she never held that against him. They kept up their friendship for some time after school, but life eventually intervened. And now here he was, in front of her. Jacqueline bustles around the counter to give him a hug. It's been years, you goof. Of course I'm not going to recognize you. The hug is warm and strong. Jackie notes in passing that the fabric of his sweater is surprisingly soft. So what brings you to town? Visiting your mom?
I mean, I am, but that's not the whole story.
Oh? Yeah, I actually live here now. In fact...
Oh?
Moving van just dropped the last load of stuff off at my house yesterday. I was taking a walk around downtown to see what's changed when I saw you through the window.
Which I guess brings us to right now.
Hang on, hang on. I need more than that. Let me just...
Al.
Okay if I go on break? Go on, go on. You're blocking the counter. You heard him. Go find a table. I'll get something for us to eat. Moving with the furious efficiency of a woman who knows she only has 20 minutes to sit down, Jacqueline slides two slices of key lime pie into two plates and pours two cups of coffee before hurrying over to the table where Roman is sitting. Here you go. Now, you live here? Roman takes a bite of his pie before answering.
Oh, wow. This is zesty.
The secret is zest. Zest is a real thing?
It is.
I thought zest was just, you know, an adjective. Before it was an adjective, it was what you got when you grate the very outer layer of citrus fruits, like lime.
She's right about that.
Huh. Who'd have thought? Roman, there are 17 minutes left in my break.
And women will fucking get on you about this shit. I've literally had women say, okay, look, I don't have that much time on break. Hurry up and say what you gotta say.
Because that literally happens, like... Like, men don't really care. I don't know. Men, I don't know. Do we work harder? I don't know what it is. The man's like,
yeah, it's cool. That'd be all right. Woman's like, I've got to get back in 5 minutes.
Why do you live here now? Did you lose your job? Are you moving back in with your mom? Roman chuckles.
Ah, well, I'm definitely not moving back in with mom, thankfully. I got my own place near the river.
Down by the river!
He's got a van down by the river, damn it! As for my job, I guess you could say that it doesn't exactly exist anymore. Jacqueline reaches out and pats Roman's hand, her eyes full of feeling. Oh, Roman, I'm so sorry. Are you okay? Do you need any help? He chuckles again. No, I got a severance package. I'll be fine for a while. She sips her coffee as he takes another bite of his pie. Won't it be harder finding new work here? I thought all the computery jobs were in the big city. They are. That's sort of why I'm here. I needed to be away from that whole ecosystem for a while. I can understand if losing your job left a bad taste in your mouth, but what are you going to do now? You know, I honestly haven't made up my mind. Speaking of taste, the pie is really good. Did you make this? Yeah, I handle all the sweet stuff. Al does the savory. Aw, hell. I've been trying to cut back on sweet stuff, but with this place and walking distance, that's going to be tougher than I thought. Don't even bother resisting. I'll have you fatten up in no time. She glances at the clock on the wall. Tch, my break's almost over. I'm happy I was lucky enough to run into you. We should get drinks to catch up soon. Maybe Friday? Friday? No promises, but if I can find someone to watch the kids, definitely. Oh, good call. If you can find a babysitter, you can bring Rufus along. I'd love to catch up with him, too. She glances at the clock again. 30 seconds left in her break. Nowhere near long enough for that conversation. Yeah, sure. Roman pulls a little notebook from his pocket, scribbles on it, and tears off the piece of paper to hand to Jacqueline. Wow, they're really old school. Here's my new number. I know you could just message me, but, you know, just in case. Thanks so much. I'll let you know about Friday. They both rise and share another hug. Roman walks out of the bakery after buying a few cookies for the road, and Jacqueline hurries back behind the counter with their dishes. Alejandro, who'd clearly been listening in, gives her an approving nod. He's cute, a little old, but cute. New boyfriend? Jacqueline snorts. Please, you ask me that every day, every time I say more than 10 words to a guy. I'll be right eventually. Besides, most guys you don't hand out a free pie to, is all I'm saying. He's an old friend from school, Al. A cute old friend. Y'all should date. I give you my blessing. You're not my dad, Al. He's not here right now, so I'm filling in. As your adopted father, I hereby give you my blessing to chase him down like some kind of jungle predator. Thanks, Al. Like a cheetah running down a gazelle. Thanks, Al. The rest of the day proceeds without incident. That is, apart from a pleasant surprise when the day's tips are divvied up. Whoa, Al, are you sure you counted right? Our boss chuckles. Believe me, I double-checked. Someone tossed $200 into the jar, can you believe it? I don't, but shit, I'll take it. See who it was? Nah, it was in the back. Damn, there's someone I wouldn't mind being extra nice to. Jacqueline says her goodbyes to Alejandro and hurries off to pick up Aster, the unexpected wad of bills in her purse seeming to buoy her forward. Hey there, baby girl, ready to go? She finds her daughter leaning against the wall of the daycare's waiting area, thumb in mouth. Seepy. Oh, did someone have a big day? Yes. That's okay, baby. Mama will carry you, all right? Aster, thumb in mouth, gives a tiny nod and allows herself to be scooped up into Jacqueline's arms. Oof, kids do not get any lighter as they grow up, that's for sure. Just gotta make it to Olive's place. One step at a time. Somehow she manages to make her way over to Olive's house without dropping or waking her napping toddler. Come on in. Oh, wow. Okay, here, let me take her from you there. There we go. Okay, honey. Jacqueline, on the verge of collapse, gratefully surrenders her daughter. She stretches and wipes the sweat from her brow. Thank you. I thought I was going to pass out. You carried her all the way from the daycare? Juniper would be so proud if she knew you were doing this kind of endurance training. Come on, I'll hold her while you sit and rest. Don't worry, the boys are playing. Indeed, from the living room at the end of the hall, Jacqueline hears the unmistakable sounds of video games from exuberant boy shouts. Thank God. Sit. I'll fetch you some tea and cookies. I love you so much. Jacqueline collapses into a kitchen chair as Olive smoothly and efficiently pours boiling water into a mug and arranges cookies on a plate, all with Aster dozing in one arm. Jeez, look at you go. You must be feeling better, huh? Oh, it was just a little cold. I probably still could have taken care of Luca, but I didn't want to risk passing it on to you. I appreciate it. Olive sets the tea and cookies down in front of Jacqueline, who digs in without pretense. So, You look tired, honey. Oh my god, is it that bad? Olive nods. Ugh. It just feels like it's been going on a... It just feels like it's been a long time since I had a break, you know? And I don't just mean it's been a long time since I had a rest, though, now that I think about it. Actually, never mind, I don't want to think about it. But no, what I mean is, it's been so long since something good happened to me. Like, I don't want to complain, the kids are great, I love them. Olive nods knowingly along with the familiar disclaimer all mothers must make before making any complaint about their lives. But Jesus Christ, sometimes it's like, is this going to be how it is every day now until I die? Or until they both move out, whichever comes first. Moving out in this economy? She laughs thinly and sips her tea, just the right amount of honey and lemon. Olive is so wonderful. So there really hasn't been anything good lately? Well, oh that's right, I wanted your advice on something. So I'm at work earlier today, completely zoned out, when this guy at the counter says, Jackie, is that you? And I look up and I don't recognize him at all, but it turns out, she explains the encounter with Roman the Olive, including his invitation to hang out and catch up. Well, that sounds like it could be good. There's definitely potential. Right, that's what I thought. You should take him to the placeholder. The placeholder? No offense, but that place is kind of a hole. It was a hole. I heard there's a new owner. They remodeled and got new staff and everything. When was this? Like a year ago? Oh my god, I don't get out at all anymore, do I? You really don't, but that's why this could be good. This Roman guy, is he cute? Here, you tell me. She slides her phone across the table to show Olive the picture of Roman she found. After running into Roman, she'd done what any sane person would have done and attempted to find out every single thing she possibly could about him on the internet. He hardly seemed to have any kind of social media presence, frustrating but not so strange for a man in his 40s. But she'd found an article about him with a picture on some tech news site. Oh, he's big! Not quite as big as my Clayton, but still. Clayton was Olive's husband. A professional wrestler by trade, he stood at a burly 6'5 with legs like tree trunks and arms slightly smaller tree trunks. Sadly, his job meant he was often on the road for days or weeks at a time. Jacqueline suspected Olive's frequent willingness to look after Luca and Aster was as much out of loneliness as it was genuine altruism.
Ain't gonna be mean to Olive, but... this man's probably seeing a lot of women on the side if he's out for long periods of time. It just happens. I don't know if they'll get into it in the game, but that's probably what's going on with your 6'5" professional wrestler. I mean, he's a man that can get women, like, gorgeous, drop dead, just like, oh my god, look at your big muscles, you know. And he's tall. He's so tall! Come on now, guys. I know I'm not crazy, right? Grim's not losing his mind yet.
I'm digging the whole rehabilitated mountain man thing with the beard.
Haha, it's a look, right? When I knew him back in school, he was always clean-shaven. The beard's a big improvement. I'm working on my beard, folks, but something happens when you start getting older. You got these gray hairs poking through, and it don't look good. So what I'm gonna have to do is use Just for Men. Maybe. I might have to. I mean, it happens. I'm a fucking older guy. It happens. I mean, I'm gonna end up like a silver fox if I don't. Even though that'd be okay.
Grim the Silver Fox, right? Ring on his finger? Nowhere in sight. Sounds like you're good to go then.
Yeah, just as soon as I figure out what I'm gonna do with the kids.
I don't know that I can afford a babysitter for the whole night.
Olive scoffs. What, you think I'm gonna let your first real chance of getting laid in years slip away because you can't afford a babysitter?
Leave him with me. We can make a sleepover out of it.
She holds Aster up and wiggles her around. Would you like that, baby? Want to sleep over with Auntie Olive and Theo?
Aster, roused with it from her dozing state, giggles and squeaks.
Sleepover! Sleepover!
Jacqueline blinks, momentarily bowled over by the warmth of her friend's gesture.
Oh, Olive, I couldn't possibly...
Shut up! Of course you can!
I won't do it for free, of course. You'll owe me a pie.
Well, damn! Is that it?
A pecan pie.
Pecan pie is Theo's favorite, but oh my god, is it ever fiddly to make.
Promise to set me up with one of those bad boys. You can have the whole night to yourself.
Of course, you got it!
Then that's settled.
Jackie glances over at the clock in the oven.
Shoot, I really rambled, didn't I? I better get the kids home and start making dinner. Right, Theo. Time to say goodbye to Luca, hon. A pair of ahs are heard from Theo's room, but after a couple minutes, Luca trudges out of the kitchen. Out into the kitchen, rather. Hi, Mom. Me and Theo were playing boat craft. With boats! Well, Theo was playing. I was watching. Oh, honey, didn't Theo give you a turn? I like watching. I tell Theo what to build and he builds it. He's really good at building. You're the brains of the operation, huh? Well, that's okay, as long as you're having fun. Say goodbye, sweetheart. We gotta head home for dinner. Luca waves enthusiastically down the hall. Bye, Theo. Thanks for playing. Theo waves back from his room as Jacqueline scoops up Aster. I was that kid. Like, basically, my mother would go to Bible study. So, I would play games with the kids. I was about the same age. Like, we were all kids. And they had a Sega, and I played a lot of Sonic 2. And a lot of, there was a Mickey Mouse game. Don't even fucking say that. This Mickey Mouse game was badass. And it was only on the Genesis that I recall. It started when you play through Steamboat Willie. And it was actually a really well-designed game. But I could never get past the horror movie one. There was like a Mad Doctor's Lab. But that was a really fun game. And I know they're doing, like, a new Mickey that's, like, a Metroidvania, so I'm kind of interested in that, because it seems to kind of remind me of what this was. But there was that one, and there was Home Alone. Home Alone on Sega Genesis was the shit, folks. Dude, seriously, go play Home Alone on the Genesis. Not the second one, but the first one. Basically, what you do in the game is you go to different houses, and you set up traps. And basically, you set up the traps to stop the burglars. And you have different houses. Like, there's all these different houses. Kevin will run from one house to another. And he basically has to set up different traps. And, oh yeah, it's great, dude. Because you get to, I mean, it's really fun. And again, it's like interactive to where when you're in the house, you're literally running after the burglars and setting off all your traps. It's one of the best games I've ever played in my life, still to this day, is Home Alone on Sega Genesis. I don't know if they made, like, a Super Nintendo version, but the Sega Genesis version is just fucking awesome. So, definitely, like, I don't even know if they'll have that on, like, any of your virtual console little things on Steam or whatever, but, like, if you've got to emulate it because it's a licensed property, like, do it. Because you won't fucking regret it. That game is great. Same thing with the Mickey Mouse game. But yeah, there were a bunch of games. I definitely played that, the Mickey Mouse and the Home Alone a lot, though. Because those were really fun ones. And Sonic 2. I played so much Sonic 2. And we knew the, Stage Select. 1965, 9, and 17. I still remember all that shit. Because I used to do that code constantly. And I would just play any of the stages sometimes. Just such a great game. I played that game probably more than any game I played in my life. With probably Sonic 2. That was just the one for me. I think they had the first one and I played that. But yeah, it was mainly that one. But yeah, I remember. I know what it's like. But, oh, it's time to go. And this is like long Bible studies too. They'd have like 3, 4, 5 hour Bible study. So there was a lot of time to just chill and play the game and have fun. But, anyway, this is getting pretty good, guys. So we're gonna keep on going through it. I kind of want to see what happens. It's not, like, cringe. It's actually kind of written decent. Like, it kind of feels like the comic we read, Sugar, where she's a young girl and he's an older guy. So we'll see what's going on with this, but I'm gonna keep going and then we'll end it. But I wanna at least get them home first. Thanks for listening, Olive. I'll keep you updated. You better. And don't think I'm not gonna tell Junie about all this as soon as you leave. I wouldn't dream of it. Bye. The trip back home from Olive's place is mainly filled with Luca's excited recounting of the many marvelous structures built by Theo in boatcraft. As is the time Jacqueline spent... What? As is the time Jacqueline spends preparing dinner. What? I'm still trying to understand that. As is the time Jacqueline spends preparing dinner. As is the time? Hold on. Okay, hold on. Then okay, so we're talking about the boat craft. And then as is the time... doesn't make any sense. As is dinner itself. As is the time Jacqueline spends washing up after dinner. Am I missing something? Okay, hold on. Alright, let me try to get this straight. The trip back home from Olive's place is mainly filled with Lucas' excited recounting of the many marvelous structures built by Theo and Bonecraft. Okay, and then there's... as is the time Jacqueline spends preparing dinner, as is dinner itself, as is the time Jacqueline spends washing up after dinner. Okay, I see the pros now. That was confusing at first. But boy, you and Theo sure got a whole lot done in that game, huh? Yeah, okay, so she's still basically talking with him about boatcraft. I almost said bonecraft. No, don't have your kids play bonecraft. You're a bad parent if you do that. I wish I knew how to play, but it's kind of hard if you don't have your own copy to play and learn everything. I bet that it is. She sighs quietly, knowing what's coming. Do you think I could get my own? Sorry, honey, we can't afford a game system right now. The wattage on Lucas' smile dims visibly. But maybe if you're good, Santa will bring you one for Christmas. I always got that. You really think so? I mean, it's up to Santa, but Lucas thinks this over, seriously. Okay, I'll do my best. Jacqueline gives her son her best encouraging smile, feeling slightly ashamed of having deployed the Santa stalling technique. Oh boy, I bought myself a few months at least. Here's hoping those few months are filled with good tips so Santa can make good on that promise. Mummified, Luca takes Aster to their bedroom to read her some stories, leaving Jacqueline alone in the living room. She fishes around her discarded purse, withdrawing her phone and the piece of paper with Roman's number on it. Clutching them, she walks over to the couch and flops onto her back. Thanks to Olive, the kids are taken care of. All that's left is to actually make plans with him. Fuck, why is this so hard? Oh my god, has it been that long since I've asked someone out? Oh my god, actually wait, have I ever asked anyone out? Oh my god, this is dumb, why am I nervous? He literally said we should go get drinks on Friday. That means that he asked me out. I'm just confirming the time. And the place. Yeah. Finding her own slightly twisted logic satisfying, she punches in Roman's number and taps out a quick message. Hey there, Roman. It's Jacqueline. My friend Olive agreed to take the kids on Friday, so I'm all free. It cost me a whole pecan pie, so we better make the most of it. I was thinking we could hit up the placeholder. Maybe at 7:30. Let me know. She lies back onto the couch, the effort of sending a breezy text having thoroughly drained her. Barely a minute later, she's surprised to feel her phone buzz with Roman's reply. That works for me. Can't wait to catch up. Wow, that was fast. I guess he did move here back here recently. I bet he probably doesn't have a whole lot going on apart from him unpacking all his stuff. He better be unpacking all his stuff. If things don't go well, I don't want him to take me back to an apartment full of boxes. Oh, she says. Whoops, I better text back. It's a date. See you Friday. Jacqueline scrolls aimlessly through her social media feeds for a few minutes, just in case Roman sends a follow-up text. When he doesn't, she sighs and heaves herself up off the couch. Back to life. It's later on. Both kids have been put to bed, and Jacqueline is about to crawl under her own covers for the night. I've got a date with another adult. I mean, it's not really a date. Roman thinks I'm still married, for one thing. Shit, wait, he thinks I'm still married. I should really give him a heads up. Should I text him? No, it's nighttime. I can't just text a guy in the middle of the night and be all, oh, by the way, I'm actually very definitely not married. Why am I sending this to you right now? Great question. It's because I started idly wondering what your dick looks like. Then I realized that I only get to see your dick after a really uncomfortable conversation. And if it's all the same to you, I'd much rather just skip to seeing your dick because I would really love to see your dick because it's been over 2 years since I've seen a dick. Please show it to me. Anyway, see you Friday. Kisses, Jacqueline. It should be you Friday, brah. Yeah, not really the vibe I want. It's getting late. I should get some sleep. I'm sure I'll figure out how to tell him before Friday. With this comforting self-assurance, she snuggles herself up in her blanket and is very soon emitting delicate snores. It's warm! Jacqueline dozes luxuriantly as she floats on a Zur rider, the sun caressing her skin. Okay, so she's dreaming, and that seems a good place to leave off. If you guys like this one, let me know. I know I said I would do that with Validate, which we may get back to at some point. Like, keep in mind that just because I've stopped doing something doesn't mean we're not going to go back to it. Especially since Validate is doing... Let's see. Let me look at the numbers on that. I always check the numbers because it shows me what you guys want. And BitChute's the one that I get the most numbers for, so I go with BitChute. Like, let's see. Since I know I'm the only fucking person that did it here. Great. Oh, I found it. No. There's somebody that's already... Oh, okay. Well, they didn't do it. They just did... Okay, that was 2 years ago. Yeah, things are a little different. They said it was like a racist visual novel? Really? I don't know. Give me a minute. No, I didn't know he... Okay. I'm finding everything but what I'm looking for, guys. So, just... Alright. So, yeah... 81. Yeah, that's high. So let's do it. I'll bring Validate back. And if you guys like this, I'll bring this back. So, yeah. Alright. At any rate, this is the Grim Lord, and I am out, and I'll see you next time on Grimm's Visual Novel Corner with Opportunity.